What is our luck at the woman's family customs to add Candace Reed's child? But the husband's family has not followed this custom regarding public status. They should follow her own family's minute, even though the wife generally follows her husband in the husband after they get married. They should force her husband to pay for extra candles. The husband, Chafin and Lamy, can be fined to you possibly. That the man is obligated to pay for Shabbos candles in accordance with his minute. But he does not need to spend more money to fill her minute if he does not want to. Wow. The man is obligated to pay Shabbos candles in accordance with his minute. He wants her to do her his minute and the lighting there, so let him pay for it. And he's not obligated to do her minute. However, if she wants to spend her own money for the candles, he cannot stop her. He cannot stop her, because when it comes to the governing rights...
Does she have her own money?
What did you say?
How does she have her own money?
How can I? She brings money into the marriage. She brings money in the marriage. The man is denied it. Some of the stuff she keeps for mitzvahs, she keeps on her own. So in other words, he's got to, let's go over it again. She has a lady boss, a man's obligated to pay for Shabbos can't support for his money. He doesn't want to spend more money for women. He doesn't want it. But if she wants the what? If she wants to spend her own money for the candles, he cannot stop her. But Vosner concludes, also when it comes to the shekels, that's her. They're two. When a couple gets married, the woman follows the husband, they got to call double. The woman follows the husband, they got to call double. Computer distraction, or is it for dogs?
No, it was just pulling up my nature.
When it comes to the marriage, is the problem? When it comes to the marriage, is she following what? Only need one word, color. Distraction or learning? Distraction or learning? Distraction or color? Right? Those are the two words. So when a couple gets married, the woman has to follow who? Who does the woman follow? The husband. However, when it comes to two areas, so about the neighbors and shaveful, covering her hair. She wants to wear a shaveful, he doesn't want her to wear a shaveful. She wants to wear a scarf, he wants her to wear a shaveful. It's her choice. Let's continue. The husband concludes that since the purpose of Mir Shabbos is Shalom Bayis, letting one's wife light in accordance with their minhag is included in Shalom Bayis. Additionally, lighting candles is a school for children to become a chachamim. So it is best to let her light according to her minhag, even if you'll have to pay for it. So, since the purpose of Shalom Bayis, letting one's wife light is included in that minhag. Lighting candles is a school for children to become a chachamim. So it's best to light her according to her minhag, even if you'll have to pay for it. So you should show off the cash. How much extra money is it for candles if you have a good job? Additionally, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Shevus Yaivus, writes that although he does not think that women should recite Shekhianu when lighting up the candles, Shol Shadu, you say Shekhianu, they should hear it at Kiddush. He is still allowed to his wife to continue her family's custom of reciting the Shekhianu at candle lighting, since it's a custom she inherited from her parents. He claims you don't have to say Shekhianu for a Lachas Nagyantin. She should listen to my Kiddush, but her Minigan family was to, and she doesn't have to listen to her husband, she can continue Shekhianu. Based on this, some contemporary folks would feel that on a fundamental level as well, the wife should follow the custom of her mother, even if it requires lighting more candles than the custom of her husband. As this is a mitzvah coming specifically on women, and these traditions are passed down from mother to daughter. Yes, first Jonathan Linder, and then Asher Khan. Go ahead.
Thinking about what the Shevet Alevi said, I mean, if someone says to their wife, well, I will buy you Shabbos candles, but you can buy your own. Like, there's got to be a problem somewhere there that's deeper than candles.
That's what we just said. That you should, since the whole point is school of the Dalai Lama, best to let her light a corner of me, even if you'll have to pay for it. Correct. Yeah. We're talking about Iker HaDin and what should be done. What should be done? Right, that's what we're saying. But Iker HaDin, he doesn't have to show off the cash. Because Iker HaDin, he doesn't have to show off the cash. She can do it, but it's certainly recommended for Shalom Bayis that he should pay for it. You have to know the levels. Iker HaDin, yes, go ahead, Usher. The levels. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Bafan the base, Tis not to Shalom Nash, because the puzzle in April. Tis not Shalom Nash. Shabbos adds a few other important truths concerning the number of candles one lights for Shabbos. It states that a woman should not detract from her minig. If she's accustomed to lighting multiple candles, she should not reduce that number. Additionally, if she was accustomed to lighting large candles, she should not begin lighting small candles. It was a 5-hour candle, then go down to 3. But if the Shasta Pak, for example, is buying large kids will come at the expense of other products of Shabbos, she should do Atoris Nadaris. She should go Matan Nebi. The Shmini Shabbos concludes that if she is visiting elsewhere for Shabbos, the mini is to light only two candles. Shmini Shabbos concludes that if she's visiting elsewhere for Shabbos, the mini is to light only two candles. Well, let's say she has five children, and she lights two candles, one for Zohar Shamor, and adds five more for the kids, she has seven in total. She's visiting someone, you don't ask the family for seven candles, just do the two. Zohar Shamor. Okay. This brings to a very important halacha. Every halacha is important to go through it.
Do you need two
to visit the kids? Yeah, you always do one for Zohar, one for Shamor. Zohar the positive mitzvahs, Shamor the lobby, the negative mitzvahs. And then you light according to how many number of your kids. Now, what happens if a woman forgets, God forbid, a light? It can happen, no one's perfect. The Ramon, continuation of Sifah, writes that if a woman mistakenly forgot to light candles for Shabbos, the Chachamim imposed a knas, upon her to add an extra candle every Shabbos for the rest of her life. And were you familiar with this? Shabbos, what the makor for that is. What's the makor for that? Is it a Gemara? Yeah, go ahead, Ari. Yes, correct. You have to add an extra candle for every Shabbos for the rest of her life. Now, the Shavuot is Masbir that the Knas applies only where she was negligent, not where she did not light due to onus or circumstance or not her fault. Therefore, if she was in jail or could not light, she need not add another candle in the following weeks. Shmir Shabbos elaborates that even if she made a mistake and it did, that she would not need to add a candle. Let's say she made a mistake. For example, she lit before clock. That's too early. But she didn't know that. Thinking that it's permissible to light them. Do we invoke the knas? No. The Bir Halacha adds that if she usually lights five candles and lit four by accident, forgetting the fifth, he feels that she does not need to light an extra candle for the rest of her life. Ivan, you didn't light a candle. You did the basic two. You follow me? Let's get this down. Since the additional candles are only based on minig, you follow me? That's why you always got to know what the makor is. Is it minig or mikra din? Therefore, if it does not make sense to impose a penalty for not maintaining one's personal minig, though he notes that the Prima Gordon disagrees. So, it doesn't make sense to impose a knas on someone who misses their personal minig, but the Prima Gordon argues. Yes?
I've heard before that
minhag
spelled backwards.
Yeah, we've said it. Minig is Gehenna. Minig, rather. We mentioned that last year, the Bo Basra, the Beit HaTam. That a bad minig is Gehenna, yeah. Okay. We'll discuss regarding whether you can fill the mitzvah of Shabbos candles, God, when using electric lights in your home shul. I don't know if we'll get to that today. However, let us assume now that you can fulfill your obligation with electric lights. What is the law if a woman forgets to light candles, but her electric lights are on in the house? Do we require her to add a candle for the rest of her life? Or do we say that since many posts from Paskin that electric lights qualify as Shabbos candles, she does not need to add another candle? The Tzitz Eliezer writes that even if there were other electric lights in the house, she still needs to add a candle for the rest of her life. Reason for this is because the house lights were not lit specifically for Shabbos and were most likely turned on before plag. Right? If you do it before plag, then it wasn't turned on for the mitzvah. Furthermore, since the candles are usually lit and adorn the Shabbos table are missing, the ones around the Shabbos table are missing, there is a Azriel. There is a what? There is a what? There is a partial lack of owning the covered Shabbos. So the Sitzel Registers can't rely on that. If you miss the candles, you know that's the din. If you miss the candles, that's the halacha. Okay. So according to the Sitzel Eliezer, even if there were other electric lights out lit in the house, she still's got to add an extra candle if she missed it. Shmir Shabbos agrees with the Sitzel Eliezer. However, he adds that if the husband turns on the house lights explicitly for covered Shabbos, and then his wife forgot to light candles, then she would not need to add an extra candle for the rest of her life. Shmir Shabbos is uncertain, though, what the luck would be in the case where the man is required to light candles but forgets. That's interesting. Let's say the man has to light, he forgot. As you'll learn in 6 days, the mitzvah lighting candles applies to both men and women, though it is normally the wife's responsibility. If a man is alone for Shabbos, he is single and living alone, or his wife is away, he's obligated to light Shabbos candles. In such a case, if he forgets, he's obligated to add another candle for the rest of his life. And would this candle need to be added on the Shabbos that he lights, or even when his wife lights every year? Here to Shiloh, he was supposed to do it that week and he forgot. So Al Tzim, we have to add a candle, but does that apply to the woman? So the Alki Yosef argues on both the Sitz Eliezer and the Shmir Shabbos, saying that if the wife forgot to light Shabbos candles, and there's a wife from the electrician, she does not need to add an additional candle. The Yitzhak Yosef adds in the footnote that he asked his father, Bavadi, to agree with this psak. The David Rivia in the Malachas also reports that he has heard some of Bavadi were lenient when there's another light in the house, because in their opinion, the class is due to the house being dark, a lack of fulfillment shown by his casters of lighting, which does not apply here. Interesting. So, you know, maybe we don't invoke the class because if you rely on the light, electric lights that were out here. Yes, Usher, go ahead. Shmir Shabbos says that, yes. Shmir Shabbos says like this because the Sitz Eliezer is the one who says that Lamaisa, right, it was if they were turned on before Plag, and also the Shabbos, they miss the candles at the table, the mice. But the question is, what do you do about the man that had to do it one night and he missed the mice? Who was the culprit? Who found it? What did he say?
Who found it downstairs? Someone
ruined
the
Solomon's
wife, and they found us
no
bathrooms
tomorrow downstairs. For Golden's. For Golden's. You have to have the right moon to be talking, for Golden's. But now you have to use it. No, I smelled it. No Batola. No Batola. The mice. Never. Okay. Here we go. So, I'm a mice, and this is Rav Ridge, the great Gaon, one of my daughters, Ravain. He's writing that you can rely on the fact it wasn't dark, but I'm just wondering though, those lights weren't turned on before, they were turned on before Plot, so maybe you can't rely on it. He seems to say it doesn't make a difference, because the whole point of that it was dark and people are fighting. So if it's dark, people aren't fighting, it's not dark, right? So if you say like that, in this day and age, it's really hard to invoke the knas, no? You say like that at David Rivia, or Maisu, you know, and there's light from electricity. They don't put that caveat in there was a lit before fog and they're missing tables. So they're arguing it sits on the desert. So based on that, you have a real big clue about the knas nowadays, you know, not to invoke the knas. I have to remember that when people call me the childish about that. Okay, let's start this and then we'll continue tomorrow. We've got a short Seder, we've got Shir 11 upstairs. So the mice said, let's just start this and then we'll continue tomorrow. We're using electric candles, what's the story? The Chabad and Sim, Shreish Sham, Chal Sim, Beis, teaches this now. These are both men and women who like candles and Shabbos. One who cannot afford Shabbos candles must collect Sadaka in order to buy candles. But in such a case, one should buy only one candle. Okay, they're not allowed obligated to subsidize you buy for like 10 different candles. Because you have 10, you know, 8 kids. One candle. The Shabru and Sitkot Tessus Mazel, one who does not have sufficient money, should use whatever he has to buy bread. And the Berlokim Israel quotes the kindergarten that one is obligated to buy enough bread to satiate oneself and not just the desires. However, once one buys bread, satisfy oneself, the remaining money must be used to buy a Shabbos candle, which takes precedence even over buying other Shabbos foods. So, first, you go with what? Right? First you go with the bread. Yeah? And then you go with what? Go with the candle. Yes. And how much candle? Even one. One of the most basic and important issues now is about now the ancient lighting of the candle relates to electric lights. May a woman fulfill her obligation with the regular electric lights in the home. Furthermore, does a bulb make a difference if it's an LED or a what? Fluorescent. Or are you talking about a real bulb? The incandescent is a real one, right? The most basic issue upon this question depends on whether Shabbos candles either consist of an actual fire or whether the Chumash of Rosh Hashanah was mainly for Shalom Bayis. If you go with fire, then what? LED and what? Fluorescent would not work. If you hold that it's to make sure there's no fighting, there's light. Any form of light would suffice to ensure that everyone can see. Our Rebbe Tzion Abishol, do you know who that was? Rosh Yeshiva World Tzion, or Rosh Yeshiva Ben Farai Jose. He wrote the same World Tzion, you know, in the Old City. He was Chavushim in Levada. He's a great goat as well. World Tzion is perhaps that the word near does not mean fire. There has been the vessel that holds the fire. Wow. This also seems to appear in the Maharal. Maharal means that when the comes of Rosh Hashanah fire, Mahalot, Neros, the only enactment that you light in the house, but it does not mean it's specifically the form of flame. Consequently, you may use lights, house lights, including fluorescent LED lights, that do not consist of natural fire. And even with set of rough on it. This thing below in English from Zalmers or Zilberstein, Torah or Lenin's argues that natural fire is needed for Shabbos candles, and you can only fulfill your obligation to Shabbos candles with an incandescent or halogen light bulb, because they have a metal coin that heats up when emitting light, which is equivalent to fire. So who's the hot light this machine? Good to see you back. Good night. Hope you're feeling better. We missed it. A mice. Okay? So you see the favorites. Rabbi Tzion Abishol says the favorites that you can use what? LED and fluorescent. The Zilberstein says it's got to be fire. That means it's got to be a candle or a regular light bulb, which is fire, or a halogen light bulb, which is also fire. Many other posts could adopt a lenient position similar to Rabbi Yamin Zilber, as Hebrew argues. Since the main purpose of near Shabbos is to illuminate the house, as mentioned in this roof, you may fulfill the mitzvah by turning on electric lights for Shabbos. Therefore, it is best to turn on the house lights before lighting your Shabbos candles. And when you recite the brach on the Shabbos candles, you have the electric lights in mind. This is also the opinion of the Shmur Shabbos. Right, so there's a clear opinion of lighting Shabbos using electricity and even set a block on it. However, the lighting of candles is to turn off all the lights in the house and then have them go on with the Shabbos clock after you light the Shabbos candles, or turn the lights off and back on again, and then light the Shabbos candles with the block up while having the electric lights on, because you turn them on for the sake of what? Yes.
Since incandescent light bulbs are generally much harder to come by today,
much harder to what?
Combine
in the store.
Most stores don't sell them because they're...
No. If you go to Home Depot, you have the lowest, you can get them. Rabbi Avadia, the Kavistash, agrees in principle as well that when they use electric lights for Shabbos candles, they add that it's best to light extra candles for Shabbos, but it's evident they're lit for Shabbos, similar to a wedding, where the candles are lit for ambiance, not for the purpose of emitting light. However, if you're a location where you cannot light candles, you may turn the lights specifically for Shabbos and even make a brach on them. It's also the opinion of Sitz Eliezer. The Bavadi concludes, as the Akubas from the Shabbos quote above, that since the main source of light comes from electric lights and you can fulfill your obligation with them, it is best to have them in mind. The brach on the Shabbos is also going to have electric lights in the house. Finally, the great governor, Shlomo Zalman, quoted from Shabbos Machadis, that although you took clear obligation with electric lights, you cannot reset a brach on them unless the lights are connected to a battery. The reason for this is because when using house lights that are plugged in the outlet, new electricity is constantly sent from the power plant. Therefore, turning on the light before Shabbos is as if you are lighting without enough oil to last into the night, because you are depending on future electric currents. They'll be sent from the power plant in order to keep the lights on. Beautiful, smart. Meaning the luck is that you light the Shabbos candles with a minimum amount of oil in a manner, but this is not enough oil to last until Shabbos. You may not set a brach on that, even if enough oil will be added later. For Shabbos, ensuring that it lasts all night. Similarly, turning on lights which are connecting the city streets, stream of electricity, is equivalent to lighting candles without enough oil. However, if your light is connected to a battery, you may even recite a brach on electrical lamps because the oil, in our case electricity, in the battery, is consolidated in the battery. Well, the two mentioned above goes a step further. It says not only may you not recite a brach on electrical lights connected to the power plant, you are not even yotzi or basic obligation Shabbos candles. Rather, you should only fulfill your obligation if the lights are connected to batteries. So if you do electric, it's got to be batteries. okay? So the place is whether you need fire or just to survive, but if you use that electric, make sure it's a battery, because you have half the light only with enough oil. Okay, let's break here. Here's some arthritis. Guys, let's go. Okay, we got to go right. Continue where we left off yesterday. And next week we'll cause a few days, okay?